Welcome to the Authors Line, interviews and insights with featured authors and writers.
Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Who's on the line?
This is Sarah Bertol from Talkeetna.
Sarah, thank you calling all the way from Talkeetna. It sounds like you're right next door. I understand you've done something recently. Is that correct?
I recently had a new book published by Epicenter Press.
Ah, right. And if I'm remembering correctly, you also are going to be doing a book signing.
Yes, at Fireside Books on June 7th.
June 7th. That's coming up pretty quickly. Yep. All right. So for people who are not familiar with your work, when you said a new book, that implies that you've had other books. How long have you been writing?
I've actually been writing all my life. I started writing as a kid, and I've always been a big reader. But I've been writing seriously for quite a few decades now, and I had my first novel published in 2006, and then another one published in 2017, and those were both with McRory and Blackburn Publishers. They're really small press out of Esther up near Fairbanks. But they did a wonderful job and kind of got my foot in the door with them. Then I had a book published by the University of Alaska Press called Wild Rivers, Wild Rose, and that came out in 2020. And then I got one published by Epicenter that was released March 11th of this year.
Okay. Now, I see a title here which is intriguing, Hill of Dead Horses. And I'm always fascinated by how it comes to be that a title gets assigned to a book, a novel. So is this your choice or did it emerge otherwise?
I think it was the novel's choice. And what I mean by that is I had a different title on the story that I kept for quite a long time. But as I was writing, the story kept coming back to this one particular hill. And it's a historical story, a true historical story, involving a hill up in the old Curry area along the Alaska Railroad. And I couldn't find out exactly what hill it was, but Curry was the inspiration for this novel. But there was a team of horses with a surveying crew. You know, the surveyors had
right
to go in there and get everything, start platting out the railroad and everything. And they were up on this hill, and a bear came along, and the horses bolted off the hill into their deaths.
Ah.
Very okay sad.
Yes.
But my novel kept coming back to that hill, or in my imagined version of that hill. And so I just, that's how the name came. And Epicenter Press obviously thought it was a good title because they didn't ask, you know, a publisher would have the right to change a title.
Well, very good. Well, I thank you for that. Now, obviously, from what you've just described, at least for this novel, and I'm wondering about the others, they're set in an area familiar to some listeners here, Curry Ridge and all the rest of that. Mm-hmm. When you began writing, were you pretty much focused on the area you know here, or have you drifted to other locales?
My first novel is set in Western Alaska, where I lived for a couple of years when I was a kid. My family lived for a year on the shores of Lake Iliamna.
Okay.
And that place has always kind of haunted me. It's a very windy, moody, beautiful, strikingly beautiful area. And that's the setting for my first novel.
Okay.
But the other ones are set in fictionalized versions of my home spot of Talkeetna and the northern Susitna Valley.
Okay. Well, so now comes the question, because there are a number of other people, Wayo and Ivy and others, who have written here in Alaska and have fictionalized areas. How did you do that? How did you find it possible to give people a sense of place that they know, but yet change it enough to support the storyline?
Well, that does get a little tricky.
Right.
But for historical stuff, I try and stick to, you know, historical timelines, like what happened in this year in Alaska, and would that affect, you know, what was going on here with my characters and things like that. And I read a lot of historical books about this area, like anything I could find. There's one really good book about Curry, what it was like up there.
Right.
And, you know, for Wild Rivers, Wild Rose, that was inspired by, but not based off of, it was inspired by Roberta Sheldon's Cache Creek Murders book.
Okay. Got it.
And yeah. I grew up with the stories of those murders, those murders in those Cache Creek murders. But also there were these other murders, the Murder Lake murders. And with Roberta's book, I was able to get a lot of historical information because she kind of consolidated everything. But another thing that she does in that book, or did in that book, is that she really captured the feeling of what it might have been like to live in Talkeetna at that time period. And that's what I was trying to do with that book.
Okay.
Kind of pay tribute to that era in a place like Talkeetna. I would do things like, change names of things. And because for me, because it's fiction, you know, it is fiction. It's not meant to be historical fact. I did want to manipulate things a bit to... in all my books, to suit the story, because the story comes first.
Right.
I'm not trying to do a historically accurate thing. With Curry, I had started out wanting to do something like that, because some people don't even remember Curry existed, you know, with the big hotel.
Right.
And the hotel that had a swimming pool, a tennis court, all this stuff up there in the middle of the woods along the railroad. But for my story, I have two timelines in Hill of Dead Horses. One takes place in 1927. That was when the hotel was kind of in its heyday. And the other timeline is in 1974, when there was this kind of back to nature movement up the tracks from Talkeetna north of here. So for my 1974 timeline, and this is like an example of how I kind of changed things to meet the story, I needed my characters to be totally alone up there. And at that point in Curry's history, the hotel and everything was gone, except there was still like a railroad building that was like a place for the railroad workers to spend the night, and there was someone manning that building. So I had to get rid of that.
Okay. Got it. Got it.
But other than that, I tried to keep the area as true as I could find it. I talked to a friend who had lived up in the Curry area for like 40 years, and he helped me quite a bit. And I read what I could about the hotel. There's not a huge amount of information out there about it, but I found some websites, and I've always really loved this book called Lavish Silence by a local historian, Ken Marsh, where he kind of consolidated as much historical information as he could. So I never started out to be a historical writer. But I just find I'm captured by these things that happened in the past in this area.
Well, I want to thank you for walking through that, because I think that'll help listeners understand some of the work that goes into producing a novel which has a historical basis but is fiction. Mike Malevsky here, Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. And I'm speaking with Sarah Birdsall. We've been talking about her book, Hill of Dead Horses, and the book signing coming up June 7th at Fireside Books. We have time enough for last comment. What would you like to share with listeners before we do finish, Sarah?
I guess I would like to say that, you know, I've always loved books set in Alaska, and that has kind of inspired, Alaska has always inspired my writing. And as a writer in Alaska and as a reader in Alaska, I've been really, really happy lately that there are so many great Alaskan writers writing good books. And I just read a lot of other fellow Alaskan writers. There's a lot out there. There's plenty to choose from.
Very good. Well, thank you. Thank you, Sarah, for doing all that work. Hope to see you at the book signing. Stay well out there.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Yep. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Author's Line on Big Cabbage Radio, broadcasting from Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.